This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We love meeting our listeners. You know, I always say without you, there is no us. I just got a chance to meet Mike and Laura, and I was like, hey, where you guys live? You know, where are you coming from? And he's like, Covington.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And he said it took, obviously it's Friday traffic, but he said it took a while to get up here. And they're going to see their grandson's game tonight in Rome.
Oh, wow.
So they're headed up, and Mike, here's the kicker. He was like, love your beer.
Hey, thanks, big guy.
And his other son, who lives in South Georgia or Florida, or I guess it is Florida, he loves the beer. So literally he said, he told his son he was here, and we thank you guys for coming out. Mike and Laura, thank you guys. But his son was like, hey, man, you know, this beer is good. Where do you get it? Does it take it down?
See, we got to get distributorship in Florida, Carl. We're leaving money on the table.
I'm telling you. So anyways, they're great folks, and they stopped by.
Right, you're going to ship it down. I hear you, man. Nice to meet you guys.
It's funny because he said he told his son, you know, we'll hoard the beer.
Yes.
And we'll bring it down. So he took his son like a couple of cases right down there. And then his son is handed out to his friends.
And smoking the bag. And he had some contraband beer over the state line.
But his friends are like, hey, where can I get this?
That's where there's a bar down in Naples. It's all the way down, Carl, in Everglades City. I mean, we're talking old school fishing camp kind of vibe.
Okay.
And they literally, I mean, it's like literally like Deliverance.
That's pretty tasty beer you got there.
I'm like, So we just came a six pack. You get down to 10,000 Islands for the guys, you know, fishing down. Yeah, there's a whole different vibe down there.
Yeah.
That's where the square grouper washes up and everything. But anyway, we do appreciate everybody coming out. Look who's here, little Henley, who's a Dodger fan, just breaking my friggin' heart over here with this Dodger
gear. Listen, I feel enlightened.
10-year-old kid, Dodger fan.
I feel enlightened, though, every time I talk to him because, you know, he comes up and he's like, hey, Mr. Dukes, what do you think about Freddie being hurt? And I'm like, he is? I'm like, this kid knows more than we do.
Freddie's banged up. The Mets, by the way, get a big dong from Alonso. Pete Alonso with a 3-run homer, but the Dodgers whittle away. They're down 3-1 right now. But, the Mets, it's basically win or go home. And it's the Dodgers. And great story, by the way. Yankees and the Guardians last night, that walk-off. The Spanish language call on the Guardians radio. That was fantastic. And I hope that Cleveland can rally, but Yankees just seem like they get too much firepower.
I agree with you, man. Again, I just want to be entertained. I have no rooting interest. Right. I don't like the Mets. You guys know that. But sorry. I don't want the Dodgers to get there either.
I just told Henley's dad, because he grew up and his little league team was Dodgers. He adopted the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So I just kind of put I hate to say this. I'm like, well, you got to go to Dodger Stadium, Henley. It's the best food, the big tall palm trees.
Don't put that on dad.
And then you see all the celebrities. And he looks at his dad. So when are we going? Dad's like, thanks a lot.
Don't put that on Dad. Chavez Ravine is one of the most beautiful places, though, to view a baseball game.
I have no denying that.
Yeah. Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hanging out, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, and it's been a crazy day. I just want you to hear what happened in Pittsburgh, because we talked a little bit about this. So as we started the show today, Mike Tomlin, in typical Mike Tomlin form.
Coach, who's your starting quarterback against the Jets?
I'm going to keep that in-house. And that's what he said when asked by the media. He said, I know who's going to play and start, but I don't want to tell anybody.
Right.
30 minutes later, George Pickens, who went to Georgia, who's not had a terrific year, Mike.
Just basically had eye black saying, always blank and open.
And got fined, he's not scored a touchdown. So Pickens is doing an interview, and I just want you to hear this because they ask him about, you know, hey, the work you're putting in, and he spills the beans about 30 minutes after Tomlin's like, we're not discussing that right now. I know exactly who's going to play, but I'm not going to divulge that information to you. And Pickens is like, yeah, it's Russell Wilson who's starting.
Have you noticed him putting in extra time this week, maybe working with you one-on-one just to try to get on the same page?
Yeah, getting on the same page after practice throwing. More than usual because, you know, this is his first start.
More than usual because it's his first start. Was he not doing this with Justin?
I just said we're keeping it in-house, Pickens, you nitwit. So Pickens now, as we said, Justin Fields, he's winning. And I don't think Mike Tomlin's the kind of guy to create a controversy, but Arthur Smith is probably satisfied because how many times did we complain about no vertical passing game here? He just wants to apparently divide the field into tenths and just get down the field 10 yards at a time. But maybe it's coming from Tomlin. He wants more of explosive plays. He says, look, I got a defense can hang with anybody. We've got to take the top off, and Pickens is an asset we got to use. Either way, if Pickens and Russell connect and all of a sudden they're scoring touchdowns, well, then the coach or whoever it came from is right. But Arthur sure sounds like he was defending Justin Fields this week.
And when you're winning, Mike, again, Fields is not turning the ball over for whatever you think that's worth. But I said this before. They went to the playoffs with Kenny Pickett. Okay,
right.
You can win with this formula. Can you win a Super Bowl with it? And that is what I think Mike Tomlin is looking at. Here's the other part of this, though. If they play Russ this weekend and it sounds like he's going to be the guy – and it implodes. They play on the Jets. The Jets are on life support, right? They feel like they've got to do something. They traded for Devontae Adams. If they don't beat the Jets, does that mean that they're going back to Fields? If they don't win this weekend?
Yeah, I just, like I said, it's just kind of the little bit of a drama. I mean, it's not a federal case, but it's kind of thing that, you know, you'd think Tomlin would try to steer clear of. Either way, it's a story, and now we'll see what they do against the Jets. Meanwhile, just saw this on ESPN.com. Jets plan full workload for Devontae Adams. Okay, real quick, I'll say this. I'll make it short and sweet this time around.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins has a conversation with somebody in the Falcons training staff, and we lose a fifth-round pick and $250,000, and we may or may not have been talking.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Blank lost $250.
Yeah, I was going to say the team. I say we, the royal we. Arthur signed the check. But, you know, it just to me and Mooney, they were maybe talking to Mooney a little early. This guy wasn't even on the team, and maybe Aaron Rodgers is sneaking the playbook to him. He's a full go. He knows everything. He's ready to rock.
3 days there.
I'd like to see the NFL kick the tires on this after wasting our time, after everybody in the friggin' universe knew that Kirk Cousins was coming here and only here.
Yeah.
It's a bit weak sauce.
Well, it looks suspicious. There's no doubt about it. Speaking of us, we're taking on the Seahawks this weekend. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're going to hear Brian McFadden talk about what he thinks about this game coming up in less than 10 minutes. But, Mike, as we discuss Sunday's matchup, the line hasn't moved, by the way. It's still 3. Falcons at home, favored by 3 points against the Seahawks, who've lost 3 in a row. We've won 3 in a row. They are trying to avoid losing 4 in a row. And we said this. They don't run the ball a whole lot, or at least they haven't in these last 3 losses. I think they come in and try to get that established. The other side of this is, you know, the defense for Seattle is giving up nearly 36 points a game in this 3-game skid. We're going to be able to score against them. That's not going to be the question. The question is, Mike, are we going to be able to get Geno to make mistakes and make it even an easier day for us on Sunday?
Right. Now, Seattle's coming off of 10 days off now because they played Thursday against the 49ers last time they played. But they're going to be losing 4 games in a row if they can't get it done here. We got the roof open. Roof's open tomorrow for Georgia Tech. No Haynes King, by the way, for Tech fans. Found that out. He's got an upper body injury. So Pyler is the backup? Yeah, going for Georgia Tech.
Oh, yes.
Pyron, I said Pyron. I'll call him a pylon. Pyron is going for Georgia Tech. And hopefully he hits the pylon a couple of times with the ball. But the roof's open. The roof will be open for Seattle and the Falcons, which is great to hear. So Seattle, if we get some sun, I know now we're getting into the fall, deep in the fall now, but hopefully get some sun. Sweat those guys out, Carl. But I think the over is the play because we can't stop the run. They can't stop the run. And we have a hard time getting the quarterback on the ground. That's why I took the over of 51 points.
Well, if we get out to a lead, though, are they going to run?
Well, then they become one-dimensional. Hopefully we get some sacks on the dude.
That's the
turns it over.
But that's the other part. Can we get to the quarterback? By the way, Bijan, you guys know, ran for 95 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. That's 6.3 yards a carry. Algier had over 100 yards. He averaged 5.8 yards a carry. We are running the ball really, really well. And I think, again, that doesn't mean we go away from it. The Seattle team is struggling right now on many levels. I feel good about Sunday. I'm not telling everyone about 15 or 18 or whatever the hell it was last week, but I do. Mike, I think things are coming together.
It'll be a 4-game win streak for the Falcons,
and,
man.
And when's the last time we did that? When Quinn was here?
I think I got to look it up. It's got to be 16.
Yeah.
We might have done that in 17, but it was certainly – no, we did that in 16.
We know we did it in 15 too, didn't we? And then we fell apart.
Well, again, I remember a guy named Carl – oh, I know, Nostradukas Dukes, who said, I'm starting to look ahead.
I don't remember this.
We were 5-0.
How will you go from 5-0 and not make the playoffs?
5-1.
How?
And then
– how?
Boom.
was terrible.
Yeah, that was Dan Quinn. I mean, that's why it's hard to lose four or five games a row in this, unless you're the Falcons in a season, but they'd be losing four in a row. But are you worried, though, about Metcalf and Lockett at wide receiver?
I am. Listen, Lockett has been a steady go, right? I mean, whether it was
Metcalf's size advantage.
Yeah, but yeah. Whether it's been Russ or Geno, right. Lockett has always just kind of been the go-to solid guy. I'm going to make a catch regardless. Metcalf hasn't had a coming out party yet. I don't want to give up 150 yards and two touchdowns to Metcalf and a couple of game-changing plays. He has that ability. We talked to Coach Ra earlier this week, and he said he's looking forward to the matchup with A.J. Terrell. He didn't specifically say that'll be every time,
right.
But he was like, I'm looking forward to this matchup. We'll see, man. If I'm the Falcons, look, and Jimmy Lake's been doing a hell of a job, you got to bracket this dude. I mean, I'm not trying to run one guy out there and guard a guy that's 6'4", whatever the hell he is, right. 250 and runs like a deer.
I'm with you. And then one final note, and what a strange season it's been. We were talking about this off the air. Atlanta United taking on Orlando, and there are still some scenarios where the Atlanta United, the Five Stripes, can make the playoffs. Need a little bit of help. Actually, need a lot of help.
Yeah.
But what a strange, strange year after that month of March and just the wheels have come off. So hopefully for Five Stripes, best of luck. But, man, odds are a bit long.
Coming up, Brian McFadden. He chimes in on the Falcons and all the things that are happening around the NFL, including his old team, the Steelers. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Hear what he has to say next. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening on a Friday. We hope you're enjoying the day. And come on by. We're going to be here till 7. Tinker's out here hanging out with us at Twin Peaks. Their birthday's in the background.
Man, I thought of Tinker today. I was driving back from running some errands today before I came to the show on this little two-lane road down in Tyrone, Georgia. And it was a pig on the side of the road.
Yeah?
And it was a pretty good-sized pig.
Uh-oh.
But he wasn't muddy, so I figured he might have been domesticated. Our boy Tinker actually has a pig that hangs out with his dogs. It's like, you know, like Charlotte's Web.
It's crazy. Back when Trin, my daughter, wanted a pig, and I said, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. He was trying to suggest to me that we should get one. He was like, they're smart. I said, yes, she says the same thing. But he has a very smart pig that listens like a dog at his house, right. And he was showing us pictures and videos. He's hanging out with this man. We want to see you
talk about
out
bacon
here.
On demand.
That's not what he's going to do.
What? Like.
He's not going to do that.
I'm just saying.
Hey, man, coming up in less than 10 minutes, David Pollack, three-time All-American, one of Georgia's great football players, is going to join us to talk about Georgia, Texas. Stay tuned for that. But, Mike, we got to talk about the Falcons before we hear our quarterback and Kirk Cousins. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour now and every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to be at the Perimeter Mall location on Monday. All right, Seattle, Sunday. What's this look like?
I think this team is going to be able to run the football. I'm just curious, how much does their defense improve? Or the offense has improved week to week. Every week, the scoring's going up. Zach has gotten more comfortable as the offensive coordinator. Kirk's gotten more comfortable. Pitts has gotten involved. We saw, you know, everything you want to see last week, other than maybe that touchdown before the half. Can this defense stop the run? And what about, I'm a little worried about our corners going up against their wide receivers. You know, I just... That's a concern for me just because, you know, Geno, yeah, he'll throw it all over the place. And if you get a lead on him, Geno maybe throw some picks. But DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, are we going to be able to lock those guys down?
Yeah, I think that's how, you know, we've got to look at this game. First of all, Geno, again, leading the league in passing yards. They're going to throw it around. The crazy thing is, and you know, we were talking about Kenneth Walker with BMAC, Brian McFadden, earlier, and you'll hear some of that interview coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And he said, guys, the crazy thing about Seattle is they've kind of taken him out of these games. When you look at the game log, Mike,
right.
You know, there's been basically one game that he's had 20 carries. All these other games, 12, 5,
right.
14 – they don't run him like I think they should. Now, does that change against us because our inability over the last 4 or 5 weeks to not slow these teams down against the run? Mm. If I'm Seattle, that's what I'm going to come in and try to do against the Falcons, take some of this pressure off of Geno. But if they don't want to play that way and they expect Geno to come in here and win, right. We not only get two picks, but we're going to beat these guys by two touchdowns.
And look, it is kind of cool having a quarterback in your building who just played for the offensive coordinator who's coaching that other team. Ryan Grubbs, the OC, remember he had that cup of coffee with Bama, decides when Seattle offers him the OC job to go to the NFL. So, yeah, Michael Penix running scout team, trying to do some of the things and sort of emulate what Geno's going to try to do. So that's a little bit of secret sauce. Even Brian McFadden said, you can only help. You'll hear Brian's take on this game at 6:20. Troy Andersen, Lorenzo Carter out this week for the Falcons.
Yeah, Zoe concussed. We didn't know that until late Wednesday when we were up there at Flower Branch. That came down, I think, sometime in the 6 o'clock hour. We were like, what?
I mean, did Dalton fall on him when he was missing the tackle? I don't know. We're just being Weisenheimers. But the good news is, if you believe in the next man up, I kind of want to see the next man up in that rotation opposite of Matthew Judon.
Well, you're going to see some of the rookies get opportunity, certainly this week. Rook's been playing well, guys. I know a lot of attention has not been paid to him, but when he's gotten his snaps and opportunities, he's played well. Last three losses, and then we're going to hear from Kirk Cousins. This is, of course, the Seattle Seahawks. Mike, they gave up 36 to San Francisco. They gave up 29 to the Giants in an L and 42 to Detroit.
And they got away with a fumble from the Giants at the goal line, which some folks said should have been maybe a touchdown or the ball was dead. So
that's their three in a row that they've lost. But the point is, they're giving up points. They're giving up almost 34 a game.
They are giving up two more yards per game in the rushing attack. So if you like Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier to kind of maybe continue some of that momentum that we're working with, I just want to see this sort of spring off that play action we've been waiting to see. And by the way, it was a little strange when we heard Coach Raheem Morris talk about the new role for Drake. It's not really a new role. They've been using Drake all over the field, but for whatever reason, Raheem chose this week to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets more balls or whatever, but Drake's been balling out, man. Let's hear from our...
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
What's going to happen on Saturday night in Austin, Texas? The weather's going to be great. There'll be over 100,000+ fans at DKR. It will be rocking. And the Dogs are underdogs on the road for the first time in a very long time. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, this hour brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour now and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. And Mike and I'll be at the perimeter location. We're awaiting David Pollack. But, Mike, as we've talked about, if you're just joining us, the reason for concern, and listen, sometimes numbers are skewed. Sometimes you go, I don't believe it. But when Georgia was this team, meaning they had the best defense, Mike, the best offensive defensive lines, you watched it, you believed it. I don't know how much of Texas you've actually watched. It doesn't mean that Georgia will not make this competitive or, for that matter, win. But when you come in number one in the country with points allowed, that's Texas's defense. Number two yards allowed. They're giving up 103 a game. And number two passing yards allowed at 126. You say, what gives? Mm. Does the Texas defense do that to Georgia, or does Georgia's offense get over the top and make plays?
And joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, we're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. My old compadre, three-time All-American at Georgia, and we miss him on TV. It's our man David Pollack. What's up, Bubba? How you doing?
What up, dudes? How we doing? Ready for a big weekend?
Huge. Huge, man. And Pollack, man,
Mike,
listen.
I guess, Mike, hold on real quick. I guess Mike's weekends are depressed with FSU now. I'll just like...
Dave, we're not even talking about that, Dave.
Well, okay, we just started on the season. We picked up a new team. Like we thought, we're drinking all the time.
You know the drill. Yeah. We pivot to Athens in times of trouble in Tallahassee.
You're exactly right. Well, I picked against them today, and I told them I'm not poking the bear, but they've got Duke. Duke's 5-1.
Oh, yeah.
Florida State's 1-5.
Let's not ruin this. Let's not bring Florida State into this awesome conversation with David Pollack.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah. Pollack, man. Kirby said that he's concerned about the O-line, and that's where his focus has been. They have not been healthy. But tell me what you see with this Georgia team up front, because everybody's talking about that's where the concern is heading into this game against Texas.
Yeah, I mean, your best two linemen are gone. You know, they're not playing this weekend. And so that was right guard and center. So I think your ability to be what you wanted to be to start the season and to have balance and be a running football team kind of went out the window. And I think you've seen the shift now, by the way. Like, you know, last three games, it's 50 passing attempts for Beck, 48 passing attempts, and then, you know, 30 in the Auburn game. So, like, it's been a pass-first team. You know, Bobo at center now obviously changes it because he's not near as athletic, but he's also really good at deciphering protections. And there's been less bust along the front, I think, too. So, you know, I just think that it's a shift in philosophy now.
Oof.
By running the football by running. And when you match up against Texas this week, I'm so curious to see if Texas continues to do what they do, because what they do is pretty conservative. You know, like, it's quarters. It's not very aggressive, and their back end has not been challenged. Like, I think people want to point to wins. Alex Orji was playing quarterback for Michigan. That dude can't throw for 50 yards in a game. Like, that's ungood. And then you beat Michael Hawkins Jr. from Oklahoma, who's clearly not throwing the ball really well. So they haven't played a passing offense yet. So I think Georgia's offense is going to be very, very successful. That's why I think this is going to be a better game. I know some people are saying Texas is going to win pretty clearly and definitively. I disagree.
High-scoring game, Dave, because you know I've been you just covered the run game. I've been saying I thought Trevor Etienne would be a bigger factor in this game. Is there a way to get him involved with some, I don't know, screen passes or wheel routes or anything? Or it's going to be all about the wideouts making plays?
I think the majority of it's going to be about the wideout making plays. But, yeah, if you can form some kind of balance, it would definitely be nice. I don't know that we will. Like, I just don't know that it's in us anymore right now at this point. And if we want to be successful and really make explosive plays throughout a game, I think your best chance is to continue to throw the football repeatedly. But, dude, I've been impressed with Etienne. Like, I think he's really, really good. I kind of feel bad for him because he leaves Florida's line. He's like, thank you, Jesus. I'm in heaven. I get to go to Georgia's offensive line. And Georgia ain't blocked worth a crud for him all season long. So, you know, the run game – you know, Frazier gives you a different pop. That kid is really good. Nick Frazier, the freshman number three, I think he's getting help. Nate Frazier, the freshman number three, I think he's getting healthier, banged up his shoulder a little bit. But 1 and 3, man, they've got to manufacture yards a lot of times that I think aren't there because Georgia's line has really struggled in the run game.
David Pollack joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 3-time All-American at the University of Georgia, a great player and certainly a great broadcaster as well. We love his input. Pollack, did they fix the issues we saw against Alabama in the first half from a defensive standpoint? I know they got some big explosives, and Kirby talks about that. But fundamentally, they gave up some of that stuff to Miss State last week, too.
Yeah. I think that was pretty discouraging when you watched last week and you see, you know, lack of eye discipline. And you see – you know, guys turning people loose and stuff. And those are the ones you can't have. The deep ball, you know, making plays. And that's what Texas can do that. Now, Arch does it, you know, more so than Quinn Ewers. But I do think that the defense has shown some cracks. It's been banged up all year long, and that's continuing to be a trend. But I think they have the ability to play better. I think they have the ability to play more disciplined. I don't think Malachi Starks is going to keep missing tackles. Like, I think he'll clean stuff up. I think they struggle a little bit with the nickel position, you know, in the slot. I think they missed Tate a little bit from last year. But I think this is a defense that has enough guys to make plays and to not force turnovers, to not rush the passer at a high rate. Like, they need to do a better job with that. And I think they'll be challenged. And here's the thing, Texas, they get a one sack all year long. Like, they do a good job of protecting their quarterback. Now, their run game is not elite by any stretch. But Ears, you know, really does a good job of attacking the perimeter with quick throws. And he was really rusty last week. I'm interested to see him this week because you can't take, you know, 4 or 5 weeks off and just jump back in and expect to be at the same spot because it's a reps game. Like, you don't do things till you get them right in football. You do things till you can't get them wrong. And so taking away a couple weeks of preparation, he was rusty. And but no, Georgia's defense, you know, less big plays. They got to make Texas run the football and earn it in the red zone. But I think Texas's offense with Isaiah Bond and company, they can make big plays.
It is David Pollack with us here on Dukes and Bell. And we've talked about the defensive, you know, the difference makers that Georgia's put in the NFL. Doesn't matter what they do in the NFL, whether it's Trayvon Walker, Jalen Carter, Jordan, all those guys. Is that just part of the missing from the DNA right now? They had historically good defense, and now they're just kind of like everybody else in the top 15?
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, right now when I watch them too, like, first of all, I think Walker, I think if, when you watch 11, like, that dude's different. You know, you watch him come off the edge, he's got a chance to really be great and put pressure on the quarterback. But I think, you know, having a Jalen Carter presence in the interior, a Jordan Davis presence in the interior, you know, the linebacker presence for years and years and years, by the way, that all those guys like Quay Walker and company, all of them, N'Kobe Dean, they all got drafted. And so I think we've been a little worse at the linebacker spot as well. And then, listen, all these corners that they keep playing to are gone. You know, I mean, right. Lassiter leaves last year, everybody was upset with him, and Ringo, and all these guys are playing on Sundays, man. I mean, they're all playing on Sundays, and there's a lot of youth, you know, in the secondary and inexperience in the secondary at the cornerback spot that you've seen give up big plays. And, you know, listen, you got to grow up throughout a season. You don't stay the same team the whole year. And that's I think something that kind of frustrates me with people is they watch one game or two games to start a year, and they're like, oh, this team can't do that. Well, let's see how they adjust to that. Let's see how they grow and build their identity. That's why I think Georgia, you know, becoming a passing team and who they are now, I think that helps them for the rest of the season. It makes them better, and it gives them a chance to be the best version of themselves, as opposed to, you know, beating your head up a wall against the wall trying to be what you used to be.
Pollock, what about the tackling, man? You know, they missed a bunch of tackles. Yeah. And it's been an issue. So we know Kirby's preaching this, right? Fundamental, form, tackling, all the stuff that we've heard. Is it just about focusing? Because tackling's been an issue.
No, it has been an issue. But I think tackling and emotion and physicality, I think they all go in the same bucket. I think another reason why you'll see the best version of Georgia this week is because nobody believes in them anymore.
Like, true.
And listen, not nobody believes in them and they think they suck, but nobody thinks Georgia's one of the best teams.
Right.
These squads, dude, they have as many losses the last two seasons until this year as they had national championships. Okay? So, like, that's not normal. But now you've gotten some negativity and you've gotten some reason to have a chip on your shoulder. I'm just telling you, as a coach right now, it's a lot easier to coach when you got kids that are doubted and hungry, not kids that are patted on the back that hear how good they are all the time. Texas has that going on now, the most complete team in the country. Georgia has, man, y'all ain't played a single game, complete game this year. Right. Go back to Clemson, go to Auburn, Mississippi State, Alabama, like Kentucky. Every game, man, so much up and down and not a lot of consistency. So I think you call kids to the carpet. You put the pressure on them. You tell them what people are saying about them. And then the tackling, obviously, yeah, it has to get – like you watch, you know, against Jalen Milroe, free rusher after free rusher, blitz is coming home, you can't get him on the ground. And, you know, thank goodness you're not playing that caliber of an athlete at quarterback, but, you know, there's some athletes at Texas, but I do think that will help the tackling.
Gabe, I don't know what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do, but I presume a close game, it keeps Georgia alive, certainly, because they're in the Power Five. What about Bama? What's going to happen up in Tennessee? Nico Iamaleva, is he going to be able to step up? Because, man, if Carolina can play you close at home, Tennessee could probably beat you in Neyland.
That was close with the name. Stick with Nico. it'll be better. Here's the thing that's weird about this game, Mike, is, like, just remember 2 weeks ago. You're talking about number one and number four in the country, fresh off of, you know, big wins with Alabama vaulting to number four, a big win for Tennessee against Oklahoma, and man, they couldn't have been opposite the last couple weeks, and both leaking oil. Like who can find it? Home field advantage, obviously, what we're gonna say is real, but Nico went from a kid that I thought was superstar written all over him to, man, Mike, they don't even give him the ball in clutch situations because they're worried about him. And the one chance that I see for Tennessee to win this game, their defense is elite, by the way. Their box is really, really good. To get pressure, obviously, to play great D, but they have to shift a little bit with what they're doing offensively. And Nico needs to carry the football at least 10 times this game. Like, if you're not going to trust him to throw it, Dylan Sampson, by the way, he's got 15 rushing touchdowns this year. He's three away from the Tennessee all-time record in a season.
Huh.
Like, in a season. So, he's toting the pill. They got the ground game going. Nico has to run the football, and he has to quit missing shots down the field. My gosh, he's missed so many open looks, and his talent is better than he's playing. And I know sometimes you want freshmen to accelerate at a better rate, but it's the first time you're seeing certain things, so you don't adjust as fast. And down the road, man, you're going to be able to go, oh, I remember they did this. Arkansas did this, you know, my freshman year. And you got that recall, and I know how to beat it, how to attack it. And he definitely looks like a guy that's lost his confidence. His coaches have lost his confidence a little bit. So playing at home, loud, rowdy crowd. You know, I think if you're a Tennessee fan, man, you want to see the best version of your team on offense that you've seen this season, because it's been the last four games, they have not eclipsed 200 yards passing. And Nico has two touchdowns and two picks.
Oof. Yeah, he went from, you're right, penthouse to the outhouse. Pollock, what about parity? Last thing for me in college football. I've heard a few coaches talk about this. Because of NIL, they're not as deep. I think even Kirby's discussed this. They're not as deep as they were just a few years ago. How is it affecting the parity in college football?
Man, it's made it great.
and people complain about all kinds of things. And when anything changes, I think we all naturally complain. But it's absolutely the reason that everybody's spreading out talent-wise. Like, I literally had a Power 5 coach tell me that I don't recruit 2 5-star kids at the same position anymore. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I recruit them. He said, but I can't sign 2 because whoever doesn't play is going to leave. Like, they're literally going to put their name in the transfer portal. So, like, we're worried more about developing kids now and taking a lot of 4-stars as well, but we got to be very specific about who we allocate cash to and who we allocate, how many people at positions we bring in because they can leave so quickly. So it's weird to say that, but it has been fun, man. So many – you still got, 15, 20 teams that could make the college football playoff. Like, that's really cool. And you got guys going to different schools that – used to sit on the roster and develop because they knew they needed to go to the program. And now they're like, wait a minute, how much? Yeah, bro, I'm out. Like, I'm gone. And so all of that coming together, spread the talent out across the country and making every game more competitive, and you're going to have less beat. And now listen, don't get it twisted, though. I think in the end, it's still going to be the same teams we always have. But I think how we get there will be a little bit more fun.
All right, man. Hey, before we let you go, what about little Pollock? Is he going to Georgia? I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, Mike, it's crazy. He's 6'2", 215 now. So that's weird.
I saw the photos on Facebook. I was like, holy moly, I know. Wow.
He's a big boy. No, but I'm enjoying him, man. I'm coaching him in football at North Oconee, and it's just fun to be a high school coach and getting these kids' lives, and it's exciting, and the game's fun, and he loves the game, so I just love being a part of it. I don't coach him, so to speak, but he's grown into a good dude. But North Oconee, more importantly, the Titans, baby. We beat Eastside last week, who was 7-0, up on Eastside, took care of business, and we're one of the better teams in the state.
That's right. Awesome.
Well, I'll put some money on him next week, Dave. Thanks for the tip.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hey, man, we a lot of folks texting and love hearing you on the radio, brother. We miss you. Thanks for spending time with us, man.
Thanks, Pollock.
I appreciate it, dude. See y'all.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. David Pollock. We're coming back. We've got Kirby comments we want you to hear about this game. It is the big game of the weekend. Dogs, Texas. You just heard David.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pollock, hear what Kirby has to say next. Thanks to David Pollock for joining us, helping us break down Georgia and Texas. And, Mike, he gave us a lot more just talking about, the makeup of Georgia. It is a reality and a fact that, they have a bunch of injuries on that offensive line. But he also talked about all these guys, and it sounds like, and Pollock didn't make excuses, and neither would Kirby, but it sounds like sending all these guys to the NFL
right.
is now finally hitting. Right?
Yes, I mean, you had, guys, all these studs. You know, we talked about Jordan Davis, and we talked about Trayvon Walker and Jalen Carter, and you don't have that guy. Bear Alexander was expected to be that guy. Then, of course, he went, woohoo, went over to USC, then he flaked out on them. So you haven't had, like, the high-end, perceived to be high-end defensive stopper in the middle. Look, Mykal Williams may still be able to take this game over, but you need him to be freaking Lawrence Taylor on Saturday night in Austin, you know, and Malachi Starks and everybody else. So, yeah, you've got dudes, but it just seems like when they won the national championships, it just seemed like they were stacking dudes, you know, and they would rotate through the defensive secondary. They had guys, the nickel guy could start for every other team in the SEC, right? That's what they don't seem to have right now.
I agree. Let's hear from Kirby. He went on, Scott Van Pelt was talking about the O-line as we've been discussing today about what this is going to look like for Georgia protecting Carson Beck. And again, if he's got to throw the ball 50 times, whatever it takes to win, but you got to protect him. Here's Kirby talking about the line.
Yeah, it's in the offensive line. You know, we've had guys the last couple weeks in and out, in and out, in and out. We've got a couple guys in and out of practice this week. So it's been a struggle to kind of put that group together. But I know this, they're one of the toughest groups we've got. So they'll be next man up and get ready to go fight and play.
Well, I think, again, Pollock said this too, and it's kind of interesting because, Mike, nobody's saying this. But he's right. He said nobody believes in Georgia, not as if they're not good, but it's like, oh, well, they got a loss. You know, they're not as good as they used to be. If I'm in that locker room,
right.
I'm like, screw you. We got the talent in here to be as good as anybody in the country. Have we put it together? No. But is that going to be a rallying cry for tomorrow?
Well, I mean, the disrespect card gets played by everybody from Pop Warner to the NFL. So whatever you got to do to motivate, get these guys fired up, man, so be it. It's just, to me, Dave started the conversation about the passing game and the fact that, yes, Texas statistically is great, but they've not played an elite passing offense. And when you can be down like Georgia was against Bama and come back, and again, even with Carson Beck being as awful as he was in that first quarter, you know, that's something that they haven't seen yet. So these, you know, stud wide receivers, and Pollock, I asked about Etienne because he just doesn't really expect Etienne to be the factor you want him to be. It's all about the wideouts making plays.
Let's hear from Kirby Smart on Scott Van Pelt talking about all the fans that are traveling to Austin, and there is going to be a ton of Dog fans there.
They're loving it. I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of people, being a Georgia alum, reach out and talk about how pumped they are to go to Austin for the first time. A lot of them are probably going to be broke because of how much they had to pay for it, but they're excited. They're excited.
Well, and I will say this, Austin is way better than Norman. Once they make that trip, I'm just going to let you guys know. So
is Norman a one-horse town? Because Austin's got such, again, the music, the food, the vibe. It's a scene.
It's just a better place. Yeah. I know at some point Joe's going to travel to Oklahoma and everybody's going to go, hey, we've never played there. Let's go. It's not Austin. I'm just telling you.
No, Austin, I mean, I've been there about four or five times. You went to school there. It really, I mean, and all the pictures we're seeing on social media, I mean, it's funny. My buddy Eric just texted me, who lives in Austin. He goes, a lot on Texas Sports, I guess, in Austin Sports Talk Radio, they're bemoaning the fact that so many Longhorn fans sold their tickets to Georgia fans. But how can you say no when you can make $5,000 or $6,000 on StubHub?
Easy. Easy.
And like, that's not even getting down into, like, the lower seats.
Yeah, I get it. For those hardcore fans who say, I would never do that. Tickets have gone off the charts with the prices for season tickets, Mike. And I think a lot of fans think about these games and they go, that's the first thing you do, right? Schedule right. comes out, you go, who's on the schedule and how can I potentially recoup my money this year? And is that a game I really, really want to go to? Here's the deal. All the bars will be filled up. All the places to watch games in Austin will be filled up because most people don't have tickets. But right. if you wanted them, to your point, if I told you you could get eight or ten grand right now for four tickets to this game, there are a lot of people right now who say, I'd take that money.
You know what's going to be so funny? Like right now on 6th Street in Austin, there's probably some guy from Finland going, fire people making these dog barking noises.
It's true.
Because you get all these Formula One fans. Yep. You know, you got 100,000 race fans that come into Austin for COTA, for the Circuit of the Americas. They're doing some qualifying for the sprint race right now.
And by the way, those people that you're talking about would also pay that money just for the experience.
Right.
They're like, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to go check it out.
I can't tell you, when we were in Dublin for the Georgia Tech Florida State game, trying to explain to the locals, like, they just can't wrap their head around because they don't play in big stadiums for their local colleges. Oxford and Cambridge don't pack it in, Carl.
No.
But it's hard to explain to folks how the college thing, it's unique to America. Nobody else does it. Maybe rowing, Carl, over there in the UK, but nobody, or rugby, team rugby, but nobody does it like this. We do for football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.